Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text 16, Canto 10, Chapter 2. Bhagavan api vishvatma. Bhaktanab abhayankaraha. Avishamsha bhagena. Vishamsha bhagena. Mana anankadundube. Bhagavan api vishvatma. Bhaktanam abhayankaraha. Avivesangsha bhagena. Mana anankadundubihe. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Api, also. Vishvatma, the supersoul of all living entities. Bhaktanam, of his devotees. Abhayam karaha, always killing the causes of fear. Avivesha, entered. Angshabhagena, with all of his potential opulences. Shad Aishvarya Purna, Manaha, in the mind, Anakundundubehe, of Vasudeva. Translation, thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supersoul of all living entities, and who vanquishes all the fear of his devotees, enter the mind of Vasudev in full opulence. Purport. The word Vishvatma refers to one who is situated in everyone's heart. Ishvara sarvabhutanam riddesher junatishtati. Another meaning of Vishvatma is, quote, the only lovable object for everyone, unquote. Because of forgetfulness of this object, people are suffering in this material world, but if one fortunately revives his old consciousness of loving Krishna and connects with Vishvatma, one becomes perfect. The Lord is described in the third canto, 3-15, as follows. Paravaresho mahad angsha yukto hyajo pi jato bhagavan. Although unborn, the Lord, the master of everything, appears like a born child by entering the mind of a devotee. The Lord is already there within the mind, and consequently it is not astonishing for him to appear as if born from a devotee's body. The word avivesha signifies that the Lord appeared within the mind of Vasudeva. There was no need for discharge of semen. That is the opinion of Sripad Sridhar Swami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. In the Vaishnava Toshini, Srila Sanatana Goswami says that consciousness was awakened within the mind of Vasudev. Srila Viradhagava Acharya also says that Vasudev was one of the demigods and that within his mind the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as an awakening of consciousness. similar to Sanatana Goswami, awakened consciousness. Bhagavan api vishvatma bhaktanam abhayankaraha abhiveshangsha bhagena mana anaka dundubehe. Anaka dundubi, that's another name of Vasudev, anaka dundubi. And what we just refresher, what we heard yesterday was what Yogamaya did, transferring Balaram from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini, and everyone was astonished, and people thought Devaki had miscarried. So the very next verse is Krishna's appearance, or leading into Krishna's appearance. And before he appears as the son of Devaki, he appears in the mind of Vasudev. Several things. According to the end of this chapter, there's a appendix or a collection of other things and other commentaries, because this is Krishna's appearance, so it's very important. Janma karma chame divyam. The janma of Krishna is a very important topic to have a proper understanding. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that simultaneously Krishna appeared as the son of Devaki and simultaneously Krishna appeared as one of twins of Yashoda. So there was a female child that was born, and simultaneously a male child that was born. Now, how Mother Jasoda didn't know that two children were born, she must have had some recognition that two children were born. But Yogamaya covered her, and so she forgot that two children were born, and when she woke up, she saw one child. And they go, oh, this is my child. And of the two children that were born, one was female and one was male, and somehow Mother Jasoda, Yogamaya, Mother Jasoda didn't recognize one female child, one male child, two children. When she wakes up, there's one child. Yogamaya. Anything that's inexplicable, we just say that's Yogamaya. Yogamaya. But Yogamaya, we're going to read something that expresses this. So Krishna appeared both and simultaneously as the son of Devaki and the son of Yashoda. So when Vasudev came and brought Krishna and placed Krishna by the side of Yashoda, Vishwanath says the two Krishnas became one Krishna. Something like what Krishna does when in Dwarka, when Krishna's in his 16,108 palaces and the rooster crows, so Krishna awakens and Krishna gets ready for the day and he meditates on the absolute truth, which is himself. And then when he's finished with his morning duties, all other Krishnas get in a chariot. And the chariot takes them to the assembly house, and all 16,108 Krishnas become one Krishna. And then when he leaves the assembly house, the 16,108 Krishna's forms appear again, and they go to each of the palaces. So, similarly, Krishna's two forms became one form. But the one form that was the son of Yashoda was Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, Krishna in Vrindavan, because Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. And the Vasudev Krishna form entered into the Swayam Bhagavan Krishna form, because within Swayam Bhagavan Krishna is everything, including Vasudev Krishna, the four-armed Krishna. I'm sharing all this because there's, in the purport, Prabhupada doesn't detail, but he says that according to Srila Viraraghava Acharya, he's Acharya who commented on the entire Srimad Bhagavatam from the Sri Sampradaya. Viraraghava Acharya says that Vasudev was one of the demigods. Now elsewhere, and that within his mind, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as an awakening of consciousness. Meaning, you don't need, you know, the personality of Godhead appears as the eternal associate of, or in the, as the son of an eternal associate. So I'm going to summarize and then read twice some explanation of Vasudev was a demigod. And the narration goes like this. Chapter 8 of Canto 10 describes Mother Yashoda looking inside the mouth of Krishna to see if he had eaten dirt, and what she saw was amazing. And she became bewildered by what she saw. And then she says some things that she recognizes that he's the source of everything, the personality of Godhead. And then it says, Sukadeva Goswami says, she became overwhelmed by yoga maya. She forgot everything that she had understood. And she began feeding Krishna, breastfeeding Krishna, a little boy. And then Maharaj Pariksit says, how did she achieve this great fortune? And then Sukadeva Goswami says, the Vasu named Drona and his wife Dara offered prayers to Lord Brahma. So we know, well, who are the Vasus? There's not a whole lot of information about who the Vasus are, but we know that one of those Vasus was Grandfather Bhishma, with some event that took place, so he had to take birth as in on earth. And but as a Vasu, he was so powerful that even Parshuram couldn't defeat him. In fact, that's something that was told by his father, if I recall correctly. Parshuram was told, you can't defeat him, he's a Vasu. So he called it a day, called it a truce. So Bhishma was previously a Vasu. Now we're hearing, you'll hear, in the Bhagavatam, Drona was previously a Vasu, and under a demigod with some powers, and Drona was requested by Brahma, please help me out. some service, please, and you become a Prajapati. So Drona says, I'm paraphrasing, we'll read the exact verses. Shukadeva Goswami says, the Drona said, my dear Lord Brahma, gladly I'll do service as requested. And next time I take birth, can I take birth in such a way the personality of Godhead, Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, becomes my son? And Brahma grants that. So Drona becomes, according to the Bhagavatam here, becomes the son, becomes Nanda, and Dara becomes Yashoda. Well, wait a minute. Because Nanda and Yashoda are eternally situated in the spiritual world. And when Krishna appears, they appear. So Nanda and Yashoda are not opposed, it's Nanda and Yashoda. They're Shakti Tattva. And an expansion, or a partial incarnation, or some language like that is used in different places. Drona joined with or entered into the being of Nanda, and Dara with Mother Yashoda, and so thus Nanda and Yashoda. Read, this is Prabhupada's purports. Read what Prabhupada says, then we'll read Krishna book what it says. I'm just giving a summary. And then when Krishna departed, before Krishna departed, Jiva Goswami explains, after killing of Shishupal and Dantavakra, Krishna was just outside the gates of Mathura, Jiva Goswami. And he says, even to this day, there's a little village outside the gates of Mathura with a name that resembles Dantavakra. And Krishna then decided, okay, I'm going to go visit Vrindavan. And Krishna put on the attire of a Vrijvasi and entered Vrindavan and spent 2 months. And part of his mission was the partial incarnations, Drona and Dara, and other demigods who had come on his request to take birth to assist in his pastimes, they returned to their abodes, which was already arranged for the residents of Dwarka when, you know, that Prabhas Kshetra incident took place. Many of them, not all of them, there were still some remaining in Dwarka. But, you know, so they returned to their abode. They had assisted him. Thank you very much. Now you can go back to your posts. But in Vrindavan, the eternal associates then became Aprakat. And Krishna remained in his Aprakat Leela with his eternal associates. But Drona and Dara and others returned to their abodes. It's a little complicated. But they had this desire, and Brahma granted their desire, and so it was, because Krishna upheld the words of Brahma, his devotee. But then Prabhupada enters this other language, you'll hear, where he says, actually Drona and Dara are eternally Krishna's mother and father. We know that Nanda and Yashoda are eternally Krishna's mother and father, although there's no birth past time in Goloka. They're eternally Krishna's mother and father. I don't exactly understand the connection between Drona and Dara, Nanda and Yashoda, both being the eternal mother and father of the Supreme Lord. Because the reference Viraragava Acharya, and similarly the reference in Canto 10, Chapter 8, is Drona and Dara are Vasus. So I'm going to go back, and I'll just read the verses plus one purport. And then we'll go to Krishna book and hear how Prabhupada teaches the same message. So Canto 10, Chapter 8, Krishna shows the universal form. Krishna, Mother Jasoda looked inside Krishna's mouth and she saw what she saw. Text 40. Mother Jasoda began to argue within herself, is this a dream? Or is it an illusory creation by the external energy? Has this been manifested by my own intelligence? Or is it some mystic power of my child? Therefore, let me surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead and offer my obeisances unto Him who is beyond the conception of human speculation, the mind, activities, words, and arguments, who is the original cause of this cosmic manifestation, by whom the entire cosmos is maintained, and by whom we can conceive of its existence. Let me simply offer my obeisances, for He is beyond my contemplation, speculation, and meditation. He is beyond all of my material activities. She's continuing. It is by the influence of the Supreme Lord's Maya that I'm wrongly thinking that Nanda Maharaj is my husband, that Krishna is my son, and that because I am the queen of Nanda Maharaj, all the wealth of cows and calves are my possessions, and all the cowherd men and their wives are my subjects. Actually, I am eternally subordinate to the Supreme Lord. He is my ultimate shelter. So she's got this moment of truth. And then, text 43, Mother Yashoda, by the grace of the Lord, could understand the real truth, but then again, the Supreme Master, by the influence of the internal potency Yogamaya, inspired her to become absorbed in intense maternal affection for her son. Immediately forgetting Yogamaya's illusion that Krishna had shown the universal form within his mouth, Mother Yashoda took her son on her lap as before, feeling increased affection in her heart for her transcendental child. Text 45. The glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are studied throughout the three Vedas, the Upanishads, Sankhya Yoga, and other Vaishnava literature, yet Mother Yashoda considered that Supreme Person her ordinary child. And very brilliant purport. Text 46. Now comes Maharaj Pariksit's question. Having heard of the great fortune of Mother Yashoda, Pariksit Maharaj inquired, O learned Brahmana, Mother Yashoda's breast milk was sucked by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What past auspicious activities did she and Nanda Maharaj perform to achieve such perfection in ecstatic love? Now, in the purport it says, Sutapa and Prishni had to undergo austerities. Nanda and Yasoda didn't, because they're eternal associates. Text 47. Although Krishna was so pleased with Vasudeva and Devaki that he descended as their son, they could not enjoy Krishna's magnanimous pastimes, which are so great that simply chanting about them vanquishes the contamination of the material world. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, however, enjoy these pastimes fully, and therefore their position is always better than that of Vasudeva and Devaki. That was Maharaj Pariksit's questions. Shukadeva Goswami response. To follow the orders of Lord Brahma, Drona, the best of the Vasus, along with his wife Dara, spoke to Lord Brahma in this way. Quote, please permit us to be born on the planet Earth so that after our appearance, the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, the Master of all planets, will appear and spread devotional service. The ultimate goal of life. So that those born in this material world may very easily be delivered from the miserable condition of materialistic life by accepting this devotional service. Now, this is the one purport I'm going to read. Well, at least part of it. This statement by Drona clearly indicates that Drona and Dara are the eternal father and mother of Krishna. And we just heard they're Vasus. Shukadeva Goswami said, the best of the Vasus. Whenever there is a necessity of Krishna's appearance, Drona and Dara appear first, and then Krishna appears. Now, he doesn't say, but I'm inserting, and as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, he appeared also as their son. But we're hearing in the context that he appeared as the, Drona and Dara appeared as who? Nanda and Yasoda. Because the question was, what pious activities did they undergo to have that privilege? Krishna's childhood pastimes, Mother Yasoda giving her best milk to Krishna. And the answer given by Shukadeva is, Drona and Dara ask this benediction from Brahma. And Prabhupada's conclusion is, we can clearly understand that Drona and Dara are the eternal. So, mother and father of Krishna. Doesn't say Nanda and Yasoda are not, but Drona and Dara are. So they enter into the body of Nanda and Yasoda. So Krishna takes birth over there. But Krishna took birth as Vasudeva and Devaki, who had undergone severe austerities as Sutapa and Prishni. And so, at least by inference, Drona and Dara also entered into Vasudeva and Devaki. Because that's what we're hearing over here. Viraragava Acharya in Canto 10, Chapter 2. You with me? Continuing with the purport. When Drona and Dara were requested to beget children, they chose to come to this world to have the Supreme Personality of Godhead as their son, Krishna, etc. Text 50 is now back to Chapter 8, Canto 10, Chapter 8. Mother Yasoda sees the universal form of Krishna inside Krishna's mouth. When Brahma said, yes, let it be so, the most fortunate Drona, who was equal to Bhagavan, appeared in Vrajapura, Vrindavan, as the most famous Nanda Maharaj, and his wife Dara appeared as Mother Yashoda. Purport. Because whenever Krishna appears on this earth, he superficially needs a mother and father. Drona and Dara, his eternal father and mother, appeared on earth before Krishna as Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. In contrast to Sutapa and Prishnigarbha, they did not undergo severe penances and austerities to become the father and mother of Krishna. This is the difference between Nityasiddha and Sadhanasiddha. So, let's read what Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, because Krishna book is just following the Bhagavatam. Same chapter 8, Krishna book. So it says what she saw inside Krishna's mouth. Upon seeing all this, she became struck with awe and began to wonder whether she was dreaming or actually seeing something extraordinary. She concluded that she was either dreaming or seeing the play of the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She thought that she had become mad, mentally deranged, to see all those wonderful things, then she thought, it may be some cosmic, mystic power attained by my child, and therefore I am perplexed by such visions within his mouth. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond the expression of consciousness, mind, work, and philosophical speculation, and whose different energies produce everything manifested and unmanifested. Under his energy, bodily self and bodily possessions are conceived. She then said, quote, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto him, under whose illusory energy I am thinking that Nanda Maharaj is my husband and Krishna is my son, that all properties of Nanda Maharaj belong to me, and that all the cowherd men and women are my subjects. All this misconception is due to the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord, so let me pray to him that he may always protect me. Paragraph. While Mother Jasoda was thinking in this high philosophical way, Lord Krishna again expanded his internal energy just to bewilder her with maternal affection. Immediately, Mother Jasoda forgot all philosophical speculation and accepted Krishna as her own child. She took him on her lap and became overwhelmed with maternal affection. She thus began to think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is understood through the processes of cultivation, cultivating knowledge derived from the Upanishads, etc., as her begotten son. Last, certainly Mother Jasoda had executed many, many pious activities, as a result of which she got the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, as her son, who sucked milk from her breast. Similarly, Nanda Maharaj must have performed many great sacrifices and pious activities for Lord Krishna to become his son and addressed him as father, quote unquote. But it is surprising that Vasudeva and Devaki did not enjoy the transcendental bliss of Krishna's childhood pastimes, although Krishna was their real son. The childhood pastimes of Krishna are glorified even today by many sages and saintly persons, but Vasudeva and Devaki could not enjoy such childhood pastimes personally. The reason for this was explained by Shukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Pariksit as follows. Goes like this. Last paragraph. When the best of the Vasus, named Drona, and his wife Dara, were ordered to increase progeny by Lord Brahma, they said unto him, quote, dear father, we are seeking your benediction. When we take birth again within the universe, may the Supreme Lord Krishna, in his most attractive feature of childhood, absorb our whole attention. May our dealings with him be so powerful that simply by hearing of these childhood activities of his, anyone will easily cross over the nescience of birth and death. Lord Brahma agreed to give them the benediction, and as a result, the same Drona appeared as Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan, and the same Dara appeared as Mother Yashoda, the wife of Nanda Maharaj. So it's a little complicated, but there wasn't a promise it was going to be simple. Back to our verse for this morning. Krishna appeared in the mind of Anukundundubi or Vasudev, and we're hearing that he appeared that way by his own sweet will. And we also heard in the purport that he was already there, as he is everywhere, But he appeared to the vision of Anukundundubi or Vasudev. He made himself visible to Vasudev, stated by Vishwanath and Sridhar Swami. There's no need of discharge of semen. In the Vaishnava Toshini, Sanatana Goswami says that consciousness was awakened within the mind of Vasudev. And Viraragava Acharya says the same, awakening of consciousness of Krishna. So when we hear Krishna entered within the mind of Vasudev, now we're getting a little bit clearer picture of what that means. He just made himself visible. It's not like he wasn't there and then suddenly he came there and said Hari Bol. He is eternally situated, and everywhere in this material world, just like this term Vishvatma. Vishva means universe and Atma means the soul of the universe. So he's not just the soul of the universe, he's the soul of every living entity within the universe. So he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada is writing in the purport, another meaning of Vishvatma, the only lovable object for everyone. So material existence is forgetfulness, and spiritual existence is remembrance. And Vasudev remembered, and Krishna appeared. It's just Krishna is a source of remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness, right? Isn't that what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita? Sarvasya cha aham hridi sannivishto matak smritir gyanam apohanam cha. Chapter 15. So, for the purpose of making his appearance in this transcendental way, Vasudev, Krishna appeared in the mind of Vasudev. And then from the mind of Vasudev to the mind of Devaki, from the mind of Devaki to the womb of Devaki, and then he made his appearance. So this last is this little reference to third canto, chapter 2, para avaresho mahad angsha yukto hi ajopi jato bhagavan. Although he's unborn, he appears. Although unborn, the Lord, the master of everything, appeared like a born child by entering the mind of a devotee. Transcendental. Janma karma chame divyam. So this is an explanation given by Shukadeva Goswami and our acharyas. And then to realize that is another thing. So to realize that requires bhakti, and in reciprocation with bhakti, then knowledge beyond the material knowledge. That's how we can understand these things. And otherwise, it just, we can't understand or remains information, and we're still chasing illusion in the form of material happiness, so-called. So the power, there's potency in these messages to deliver us from illusion. An important chapter, chapter 2, that the appearance of Krishna. And the rest of the chapter, later in the chapter, it's the demigods recognizing this. Brahma informs them Krishna's within the womb of Devaki, go offer prayers. So they do. Any discussion? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Shri Rama Goswami. To understand, you know, there is eternal associates of the Lord, and Say, for example, many of the acharyas, it's described their manjaris, gopis, assistants of the main gopis of Vrindavan, the eight main gopis. And some of them, is this an explanation of where some of them are Shaktis or expansions of Srimati Radharani, or they are living entities, Jivas? And is a similar thing applies to Vasudev and Devaki, like that, to understand, you know, are there Jivas or are there Shaktis?
How do we know anything about the answer to that question without hearing from our acharyas? And I'm not familiar with anything from our acharyas. It's either A or B, and I don't know from our acharyas. I suppose it could be, you know, another option. But either A, let's just take Rupa Goswami, Sri Rupa Manjari. Now, Sri Rupa Manjari is not one of the principal Ashtasakis. Sri Rupa Manjari is the assistant of one of the principal gopis of Krishna, of Radha. So, A, Rupa Goswami is Shakti Tattva. B, Rupa Goswami is a living entity invested with the potency of Shakti, of Sri Rupa Manjari. And the answer is, I don't know, because I don't know any reference from our acharyas that says one or the other. And it's not essential to know the answer to that question. It's sufficient. Rupa Goswami is Sri Rupa Manjari. That's sufficient. Yes.
I just had an appreciation that...
You had a which?
Appreciation. Appreciation.
A brief meeting.
No. Appreciation.
Appreciation.
That when I hear all these complex description of the Lord, it seems like it's almost impossible to actually know Krishna and his associates, almost like it's very intellectual. And what I was appreciating as you were reading, that Lord Chaitanya made the whole process so a wonderful process of bhakti, and Srila Prabhupada made it so accessible for us, as somebody like Krishna, so difficult to understand, but so easily approachable and can be understood through bhakti. So for me, I was just appreciating that while you were reading all those purports.
A appreciation response. Remember, because I liked what Prabhupada said, so I listened to the lecture multiple times in Bombay, that, you know, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made entrance into the spiritual world so simple, simply chanting the holy name. Then Prabhupada said, for those that are less inclined that way and more inclined to knowledge, no problem, we have many books. You can spend your lifetime and not read them all and understand them all. So, for either persons. Now, our acharyas, this commentary by our acharyas, whether they're certainly not jnanis, they're bhaktas. But the topmost bhaktas, they have these understandings and realizations, and they provide them not just for again hungry bhaktas, but, you know, further describing the glories of the Supreme Lord. That's at least my understanding of their service to the Vaishnava community, is disclosing truths about Krishna that help us appreciate the not them, this acharya, that acharya, as much as the glories of Krishna. Rather than some abstract notion of God, it details and details and details and details. And so the form of the Lord, and these are appreciations of the greatness of Krishna. How great is my Krishna? And these details and details enhance that mood of the greatness of Krishna. And they're disclosing the greatnesses of Krishna, including like this, you know, Shad Aishvarya Purna. When Krishna entered into the mind of Vasudeva, he did so with all opulences, Shad Aishvarya Purna. So what does that mean to someone that doesn't know the details of Krishna? You know, details of, they just know God. And if one doesn't have clarity, then somebody that does something powerful can be accepted as God. Unless you're just dogmatic, I'm sorry, but you're not Christ or you're not God, and so I can't accept you, or you're not Muhammad and you're not God, so I can't accept you. But there's others. Anyway, so aside from dogma, it nourishes bhakti. It's not that if you don't know the answer to, like the question that Subal asked, you're barred from going back to Godhead. So the simple is there, and the details of glorification of the Supreme Lord are also there. And it's not just for bookworm, gyani types of people. It may be attractive to the bookworm, gyani types of people, but the potencies are there to lift them above that, because it's the potencies of the personality of Godhead and the details and glorifications of Him. That's... appreciation. Our acharyas are not going to waste their time with trivia and, you know, more information and more information. They're not going to waste their time, our time. If there's a bhakti purpose. You have something?
Yes, Maharaj. Is Mahamaya, Mahamaya expansion of Yoga Maya?
Yes. Yeah. Subpotency of, or an expansion of, yes. She's a reflection of the object. Here's an apple, here's a mirror, and then there's a reflection of the apple in the mirror. So similarly, Mahamaya is a reflection of Yogamaya. Mahamaya doesn't exist except for Yogamaya's existence, as the reflection only exists because of the object that's casting the reflection. And she has a function to bewilder the minds of those who are averse to Krishna. And she does a good job. Yes, Raktak. You want to run over there and give him the microphone? Thank you for coming to class. I really appreciate it.
Hare Krishna. Are there more scriptures?
Are there more what?
Are there more spiritual scriptures yet to be revealed to us?
Do you get it? Say it one more time.
Are there more scriptures yet to be revealed to us?
More scriptures yet to be revealed to us? That's your question?
Yes.
Well, not exactly. On the heavenly, for example, the Bhagavatam, I forget the number, here, the Bhagavatam is how many verses? Here on earth. How many verses in Srimad Bhagavatam? Anybody know? How many? 80,000. You know how many verses of the same text, Srimad Bhagavatam, exists in the heavenly realm? Hundreds of thousands. I forget the number. So, you know, if you want to read the Bhagavatam in the heavenly planets, you can take birth there and read the Bhagavatam in the heavenly planets. Or there are revelations of specifically Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan revealed by those who have experienced them. It's not recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam, like Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and, you know, revelations of pastimes of Krishna that's not within Srimad Bhagavatam or Padma Purana, etc. But there are many of the pastimes that are in the Bhagavatam that elsewhere, for example, in Padma Purana, there's details that's not within the Bhagavatam that, you know, we don't have access to because Prabhupada didn't provide them the translations and commentaries. But they're out there. And sometimes our acharyas make references to some passages from them. So there's a lot. You know, there's a lot that's manifest that we don't know about. There's lots that's not manifest because we're not in the heavenly planets. But, you know, you keep yourself busy with what Prabhupada gave. Enough for a lifetime's worth of work.
We have enough on the table.
No problem. Yeah, lifetime's worth of work. How much do you read every day?
At least an hour.
At least an hour every day?
Yes.
Fantastic. Fantastic. At least an hour every day. Nice going. Okay, Krunaditi, last question. Here comes the microphone.
How can you categorize Rupa Goswami? You said he is in Rupa Manjari and Shakti and Jiva Tattva. But I was thinking, if Rupa Goswami can be categorized as...
If Rupa Goswami what?
Categorized, means will be put into Shaktavesh avatar.
If Rupa Goswami has to be put into...
Shaktavesh.
Shaktavesh avatar? Rupa Goswami, is that what you're talking about? Well, why not? I mean, we accept something on the authority of our acharyas. And by implication, we accept Srila Prabhupada in that category because he did something unprecedented. And to do so according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartana. To do what Prabhupada did, there must be Krishna Shakti. So Shakti Avesh. And by inference and logic, which isn't what we rely on, is it? One could say, and therefore similarly Rupa Goswami. But I don't know anything from our acharya, so I'm not going to go around saying it. But by inference, logically, certainly he's empowered, especially empowered. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, and twice, yes, I invested my full potency in him. So we can say Shakti Avesh. But we, you know, it's not the big talking point about our teachings of the life of Rupa Goswami, other than what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said from Chaitanya Charitamrita. How's that for an answer? Lord Chaitanya, just say that much. Lord Chaitanya invested all of his potencies in Rupa Goswami, and he confirmed it. Written by our authority, Krishna Das Kaviraj. So we accept it. He invested all of his spiritual potency. That's a lot of all of his mercy, and that he would realize it fully. And then he told Ramananda Roy, teach him further about the science of rasa. So he gave him the fullness and said, you know, teach him more. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.